Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
And if you would, you can stand and we'll turn in the Word to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. And we will start at verse 16. This is a very, very, very comforting verse. If you ever think like feel like things are getting out of control and you want to feel a little more in control or protected, just read this verse. For by Him were all things, someone say all things created that are in the heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. I think that makes it pretty clear. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord and ask His blessing on the remainder of this service. Can we do that? We love You, Lord. We thank You for bringing us here. We thank You, Jesus, for creating so many wonderful provisions in our life and offering us so many things, God, to protect us, to bring us joy, to bring us life abundantly, God. And I pray that You help us to see these things very clearly, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's clap our hands to the Lord. Can we do that? Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I want to speak to you on this thought. God did it. Hallelujah. You can be seated. God did it. All of creation is a miracle. Our existence is a miracle. The same God that spoke the world into existence, spoke us to existence, and speaks miracles into existence. Now, we have no way to truly know exactly how that works. We were not there. Now, I'm not going to get into, you know, some people say, you know, there was original universal creation, and then that was Genesis 1 and 1, and then Genesis 1 and 2. Well, that could have been millions of years later. I'm not going to get into that, okay? The point is, I think we're all going to get to heaven, and when it's all explained to us, all of us, about some point of creation and universal history, we're going to say, oh, really? We haven't got it all figured out. We haven't understood it all. And I think if God Himself were to explain it to us, it would be like us explaining advanced mathematics to an ant. It's just not possible for us to truly understand all of it, how it works. It won't fit in our little 3-pound brain. All we need to know is that God created everything. Everything exists because of His mere word. And it's easy to see miracles in our life. And I thank God for the miracles. I don't want anyone to leave here thinking that I am putting a lesser value on the miraculous. We have seen miracles happen in this church. We have had our pastor's daughter was miraculously healed of a large tumor. I've had healings in my own life. Has anyone ever experienced a miracle and you knew that it was God? It was not a medical miracle. It was God miracle. And God gives us those things to let us know that He's in control. But I think it's important to understand that everything else that exists, everything. Now, I'm not talking about sin things. That's not what I'm talking about here. But everything that exists is ordained by God. Even the thorns, when He cursed the ground, He said, from now on, you're going to have to dig through thorns, you're going to have to pull up weeds. God did that. He created that because of the fall of man. And there's such a fascinating interaction between all things that were created. The symbiotic relationships that we see, there is a symbiotic relationship, and this is amazing to me. There's a symbiotic relationship between the Sahara Desert in Africa and the Amazon jungle in South America. The Amazon jungle could not exist without the Sahara Desert. And this is amazing to me because wind and dust storms, they kick up a great amount of dust from the Sahara Desert into the atmosphere. And some of that travels overseas across the Atlantic Ocean and through rain is deposited into the Amazon jungle. It contains phosphorus and other chemicals that do not exist on its own in the Amazon jungle. Without the Sahara Desert, the Amazon jungle would dry up and it would die. And life there as we know it would not exist. There are certain species of ants who eat all small insects except for aphids. And that's because these aphids produce honeydew that is vital to the ant. There's a very fascinating relationship between a certain type of tarantula in South America. It's called the lesser black tarantula. In its burrow lives a small frog, a dotted humming frog of South Africa. Now, normally, a tarantula of that size can very easily devour an animal of that size. They don't always just eat insects. They can eat animal life as well. However, the frog eats ants that like to attack the eggs that are laid by the spider. So the frog enjoys protection from his big buddy over here, and in return, he protects the spider's eggs from invaders. I don't know how that got worked out to begin with. I don't know if that was the way it was from creation. I don't know if God nudged it this way along the line. I don't know how he did it. I do not know how he did it. All I know is that God did it. Everything in creation is by God. Now, there is no chemical reaction that God did not invent. Now, we know that some things are in nature are poisonous to us. They are dangerous to us. Certain plants that we cannot eat. But even those chemicals that come from that have their place in nature. Now, we could spend hours talking about all that. But every single reaction that we see in nature, every single relationship, and every single chemical reaction, anybody ever mixed baking soda and vinegar? That's a fun one, okay? That's a lot of fun. That is the same chemical reaction that takes place in your stomach. Anybody ever used a little bit of baking soda for heartburn? Anybody ever done that? That's kind of an older remedy. That's actually the most effective way at reducing stomach acid. The problem is that it also produces a lot of sodium, gets immediately into your bloodstream. God invented that. And sometimes I think, wow, God, that was just cool. Bubbles. Kids love bubbles. I just put a balloon on top, you know. And first time I did it, I thought it was going to float away. It didn't. I was a little disappointed. You know, carbon isn't that light. But God made that, okay? God invented the chemical reactions used to make Tylenol. Anybody love Tylenol? Anybody thank God for Tylenol, okay? God invented that. Every single reaction that exists, nothing happens where God just sat up one day and thought, huh, would you looky there? God knew about it. He made it possible, and he did it on purpose. Everything in nature has its place. Everything. Every single thing that we touch, every single thing that we eat has its place. Even the tobacco plant. Now, I know Pastor's not here, and I'm not taking liberties because he's not here. This is all stuff that I've discussed with Pastor before. Even nicotine that is found in tobacco can give relief to people with Tourette syndrome. Some of them wear like a part of a patch, the nicotine patch. Some people are too sensitive to it. Now, there is no addiction occurs if it's on the surface of the skin, if it's absorbed that way, but when it's inhaled. Now, we know that people misuse that. They become addicted, and, you know, you don't need me to go into all that, but we know that that can be misused. However, even that has its place. God invented, don't get ahead of me here, okay, but God created the marijuana plant, all right? He did that. Brother Shannon ain't telling nobody to go away here and just try to find their own personal remedy, okay? It's not. Don't do that, okay? We know we don't, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But, of course, we know now that, you know, the CBD oil that is extracted from that can have anti-inflammatory properties, and a lot of study is being done. A lot more study needs to be done, and of course, whenever you know something that's over the counter, it is generally safe as long as we're not allergic. Now, if we take part in any of these things that I've mentioned or other things, we should always talk to our doctor first, okay? We need to be accountable. It's very important. One of the most dangerous things that we can do sometimes, not always, is to experiment with certain remedies without the aid of a doctor because they have knowledge that we don't have. We also need that accountability. So it's important for them, and they know us. They know things. They know our bodies. They know a lot of times how we can react to those things. One of my favorite natural remedies is oregano extract, okay? You don't have to raise your hand because sometimes it's embarrassing. But some of us get cold sores. Some of us get fever blisters. That occurs sometimes in the winter more than other times. I get those. It was funny. This was just funny to me, but when I was driving Uber one time, there was a viral bacteria convention that was taking place in Athens, and I gave four people a ride, and I said I was asking them questions about this because this is their field, and I asked them about cold sores, because I was going to mention this remedy, and they said, "Oh, you mean herpes?" I said, "Okay, yeah." It was strange because that is probably the only time in my life I can say I have herpes to four strangers, and nobody felt weird about it, okay? Nobody, right? So it's okay. We get that. We don't have to be afraid of those terms, all right? That's what that is, okay? But oil of oregano, you can get it at almost any health store. It was a miracle cure for me because when it starts coming up, dab just a little bit there, and it burns a little bit, but just a little bit every few hours, cold sore doesn't get bad at all. If I wake up with it there, it's almost immediately gone. Okay, God did it. Thank you, God, for oil of oregano. Hallelujah! I'm going to shout right now because somebody told me about oil of oregano. And of course, we know there are so many things in nature that can benefit us that we don't even know about yet. And I sometimes wonder what it's like for God just to look down and say, "Oh, I can't wait till they discover this. I can't wait till this my provision. Oh, I can't wait till they come across this. I'm just waiting." And of course, I know that He knows how and when to nudge His creation, us, in the right direction to find those things. So supernatural answers are amazing, but there are also natural answers. Now, when I was thinking about this, I almost wanted to say supernatural versus natural, but there is no verses here, okay, against one another, V-E-R-S-U-S, okay, we have verses that we're reading, but no verses against each other. They work in beautiful tandem with one another, the natural and the supernatural. Now, and of course, I'm not talking about worshiping the creation. That's we know that's not what we're doing. Giving thanks to God for His provision is not worshiping that provision, okay? Healings, again, they, for one thing, they are God's way of reminding us that He cares about us. It's His way of saying, "I got you. I'm right here." It's His way of letting us know He is in control. He made nature, and He can defy nature anytime He wants to because He did all of it. And I'm thankful for that. He cares about us. He wants to demonstrate His power. Some miracles we know only come by prayer and fasting. We see that in the Word. When a devil was cast out, and Jesus told the disciples, He said, "Sometimes you're just not going to get anywhere unless you do a lot of praying and a lot of fasting." Sometimes I wonder what would happen if everybody just fasted for a week to get their answer. I'm sure God would respond. Now, I'm not comfortable saying that if we don't get healed, we don't have enough faith, that we're not praying enough, we're not fasting. I'm never comfortable saying that, okay? God has the answer, and I would be very wrong. I would just ethically wrong to say you're not praying enough. I will say God can heal you. And if I feel in the Holy Ghost God wants to heal you, then I'll pray. We'll share that word. Pastor's done the same thing. We will do that. So we understand that sometimes it takes a whole lot of prayer and fasting to really get somewhere. But natural remedies, and when I say natural remedies, I don't necessarily mean homeopathic. I mean everything found in nature, from the oil of oregano to Zyrtec. Anybody love Zyrtec? Hallelujah. Thank God for Zyrtec. You know, wake up with a sniff, pop a Zyrtec. Thank you, Jesus. I'm on my way, okay? So when I say natural, that's what I'm talking. I'm talking about all those things, even if they if it was developed by man as we know it. So they are also his provision. And I believe that you can say this is my opinion. That's fine. But I believe we should be equally grateful for miracles and for natural remedies. Okay. As far as I know, I've personally never met anyone who wears glasses who prayed and fasted for healing from their nearsightedness or their farsightedness, or with me, astigmatism. Everything's blurry, near or far. Okay. Maybe some people have. Oh, we didn't do that. I wasn't seeing well. My eyes were blurry. After I turned 30 is when my eyes started going. When I turned 40, that's when I started needing progressive. So if you see me looking like, yeah, that's what that is. You know, hello, well, 50's right around the corner, but hallelujah anyhow. So my wife, you know, she wears contact lenses. She's very nearsighted. She's never prayed for healing over that, okay? Now, I'm not saying she should have or she shouldn't have, but that's just what she did. She went to a doctor. Doctor said, here you go, I've got this. And that was it, okay? I thank God that he created light in such a way that when it passes through a clear plastic or glass, the light is shifted just right. I am so thankful that it could be manipulated just right that I can stand up here and recognize everyone. I am thankful that reading glasses have helped me so that I don't have to, because this right here, it ain't happening, okay? I'm going to get a headache soon. I thank God for the invention of light interacting with prisms. That is his provision. And if God healed my eyes, if God healed my wife's eyes, we would shout, and we should. We absolutely should shout about that. But I am grateful to a God who cares so much about me, who knows that we live in a fallen, messed up, sin-filled world, that he's just going to say, hey, I got a little present for you right here. It's okay. Don't you worry. I thank God for that. I thank God for Benadryl. I've gotten caught in a little wheezing, you know, before because of some allergy situations going on. I thank God for that. Now, we have people who have children with nut allergies and other allergies, and if they were to come in contact with those things, it can be deadly. It can be absolutely deadly. But to my knowledge, those people didn't say, you know what, no thanks with the EpiPen, we're just going to trust God. That would be very foolish. Now, 200 years ago, we're just going to trust God was the answer, okay? Since then, God has given us another answer, a quick answer, okay? Stabbed right in the leg there, airways open up, and we're okay, okay? And we thank God for that. So, you know, chemotherapy, that is much more intricate than wearing a pair of glasses, okay? But every single chemical in that was designed by God. And I understand there are some sects or religions that refuse to take medication, and I'm not here to judge them for that, but I still do believe that if these things are available to us, then it would be rejecting God's provision for us to say no to those things. And I say that with understanding. I know glasses is an easy issue, okay? A headache is an easy issue. I understand that there are issues that are much more complicated than that, okay? Issues that get to our emotion. We'll talk about that. But we must be equally grateful. So using a natural remedy is not a lack of faith. It's just not, okay? Some people say, you know, the healing ministries or healing, that's gone, because if we did have healing, you know, still today, then hospitals would be empty. I'm sorry, but that is not the case. It was not the case in the Bible, and it's not the case now. I do believe in healing. I do believe we should pray for a healing, okay? But even Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:23, drink no longer water. Now, looking at the context and the way that the grammar is in the Greek, he's not telling him don't ever drink water again. The context is drink no longer only water, okay? But use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine, listen to this, often infirmities. Paul, greatest hero of the faith, told his protege, keep taking your medication for this long-term illness that you have. That is fascinating to me. That is amazing to me that someone, that a great man like him who had seen the dead raised, who had seen miracles that we will never, that we may, I should say, never see and certainly have never experienced, he told someone that no doubt he had prayed for to be healed, keep taking your medicine. Thine often infirmities. We don't know exactly what it was, but he had some type of stomach ailment that was either chronic or recurring. And Paul said, stay on top of this, okay? God can heal you, but until he does, continue to take your medication. It is not a lack of faith. It is the presence of wisdom. When we take part in these things, when Belle, she broke her arm some years ago. She fell. She was on the roller skate and fell back, and she was crying, and she said, Daddy, I think I broke it, and bent her arm back, and I looked, and I said, can you move it? She was still able to move. I said, well, it's fine. Well, a week later, she said, Daddy, I don't think it's okay. Come look at it. And I looked at it. I said, honey, do this. And she did that, and one of her arms was skewing to the left. I said, let's go to the hospital right now. I did not say, let's just believe Jesus for it right now. We don't need no hospital. No, I didn't. I said, we're going to pray on the way to the hospital. God, don't let this get worse. And I got there and x-rayed it. Sure enough, it wasn't severe. And of course, they asked me the questions. You know, the DFACS representative was there asking me the question. I said, ask me whatever you want because I already feel like Father of the Year right after this, okay? All right, but they put it in a cast, okay, using materials that an ungodly man developed so that her arm could heal properly. We do not need to be disappointed when the answer is not supernatural, but is instead natural, because God did it. God did it. God did it all. And I look around from just walking near a brook and seeing the water, and I look at that, and it's fascinating to me, and I don't know why it's fascinating. I don't know why it's interesting. I don't know why it looks beautiful when I see a sunset. I don't know what it is about that sunset that just puts me in awe, but all I know is that it does. And when a new child is born, it lets us know there is no way that this happened on accident. I love science. As you can tell, I love science, but I do not bow at the altar of science, okay? Not all scientists are atheists. I understand that. Some of them are Christians. Some of them are agnostic. Some of them just believe in God but are not religious in any way. You know, I understand all that, okay? But the notion that all of this just poof, happened, just happened. Just there, well, billions of years. It doesn't matter. Billions of years doesn't matter. I mean, it happened. They say we invoke God and everything. God did it. I've seen that written in one word. God did it. You know, that's our answer. God did it. Well, their answer is time did it. Well, how did it happen? Well, time. It just took time. Now, I don't know how much they're right about the origin of the universe and how much I really don't. Okay, and I hope I'm not offending anyone by admitting that. I believe in the 6 days of creation. I do. But I also know that all this happened by God's design. All of it. And there are so many things that science can't explain, yet they want to tell us exactly how the earth got here from nothing, exactly how old it is and what the earth had for breakfast a million years ago. Okay, we can't explain it all. Okay, we just can't. All we know is that it's here. And that God did it. And the idea that this happened on some type of accident with no driving force is, pardon this expression, desperately foolish. But we must acknowledge that God did all of this. Now, I say this understanding that there is gross abuse that happens with a lot of God's creation. We understand that. You know, we think, well, why would God make something? There are things in nature, without man having to handle them, that can be addictive. Why would God create something that could be addictive? That's not on God. That is on us. The fall of man put all these sinful properties, addiction one of them, and I'm not saying that if someone is addicted and they're struggling and they're still trying to get better, I'm not saying they're still living in sin. That's not what I'm saying. God helps people. Some people are delivered the moment they speak in tongues. And some people, it takes time. Both of them are of God, and I offer no criticism to either of those situations, okay? But why are we like that? Because we're fallen. Why is it that we have the ability to abuse something? Because we're fallen. Because man messed up a long time ago. And this little joke that we have, sometimes our girls will say, Eve, why did you do that? Well, I think it's worth noting that when the Bible says man fell, it didn't say Eve did it. It said man did it. So guys, it's on us, all right? Let's just be honest, all right? But the point is that we are messed up. We are clothed and corruptible. God knows that. And even then, he made provision for it. He made provision not just for our natural bodies, but for our spirit, okay, for our lives. God put those things together. So one might say, and I have heard this said, if it can be abused, then it must not be God's will. Okay, a valid statement, okay? I get that, all right? However, let me ask us this. How often have we abused God's grace? Just about every day. We know God invented his own grace. He is grace and mercy. And how often do we just continue on the way that we're doing and don't get help for a sin that's in our life, and we just keep saying, God, forgive me, I'm sorry, I messed up again. And what does God do? He gives us another dose of grace. He forgives us again. Now, we understand, and I've talked about this before, that we need to get help for those things. We need to talk to God. We need to talk to our pastor. We need to do what we need to do and get help. If we don't, then we may be in danger of God's judgment for not obeying his word concerning something in our life. So we understand we need to do that. But it's just because it can be misused does not mean that God didn't intend for it to be used. Now, there are more safety measures concerning things like opioids. Now, the opioid epidemic was an absolute disaster. And even to this day, it started really back in the 90s, possibly the 80s, but we still see the effects of that to this day. Now, that didn't occur because God's design is messed up. It didn't occur because, God didn't want us to have that. It occurred because there were some people who saw a money-making opportunity, and I'm not saying they were greedy. It's just, if we see a money-making opportunity, we might take it too, but along the way, they ignored certain warnings, they ignored certain facts, they used misfacts, and there were no measures put in place to limit the amount of opioids. And because man didn't roll it out the way that they should, bad things happened. People died. People became addicted. Heroin use absolutely skyrocketed. But if I were to take a poll, the majority of us in here have used something, some type of opioid, oxycodone or hydrocodone, something like that, for a few days after surgery. And God put that in nature so that we don't have to be in absolute agony during a time of healing. And again, it goes back to being accountable to a physician about those things, okay? And if we do happen to get addicted, there is always the miraculous for that as well. So just because it can be abused doesn't mean it's not God's design or not his will for us to use it. God can also use ungodly people to do his will. Now, we see that throughout the Bible, okay, that God uses the ungodly to do something. And now, it gets kind of touchy sometimes that some people say, well, that was made by, man, so I don't want to have anything to do that, okay, or that was made by Hollywood. And don't get me wrong, there are some, Hollywood don't care about our God. They don't. I get that, okay. Thomas Edison was not a particularly godly man, okay. He murdered an elephant, okay? He did. if you don't know about that. He had some other practices that were not good. Let's just say it that way. However, we use what he did every single day, and we should use it. Now, he wasn't the only one that had, that had something to do with the invention of commercially available light. It was others. But there are hundreds and probably thousands of scientific principles in use in this building right now, from the wiring, from the monitors, from the glue that holds down the carpet, all kinds of things. We could just count all of it, and most of it just in the last 100 years. And most of these things invented by people who don't care about God. But they care about His creation. Maybe only as it benefits them. That's fine. We'll take that. Israel, when Israel was leaving Egypt, the Egyptians were rich with ill-gotten goods. Okay? They were ungodly people. However, God gave them favor, and they went around asking the Egyptians, can we have your gold? And somehow God got the Egyptians to say, sure, here you go. Here is this ill-gotten gain. Here is this thing that I got from living an evil lifestyle, and now you can have it. And now God's people take it, and they do great things. Now, we know that, you know, over the course, they made some mistakes with those things, but it was still God's will for them to have this, even though they misused it, okay? So, you know, if you're dealing with anything, I know some things are personal. I really do understand that. A few weeks ago, we talked about the woman with the issue of blood, such a personal type of condition that we had. And there are also, they're not just physical conditions. There are mental conditions, which really are physical in their nature. They just affect the mind. And I understand, you know, we're getting better about that. We really are. The church, everyone, we're getting better. There are a few people that still say you need to flush your Prozac. And my response is, well, you need to flush your glasses, okay, if that's your take on it. I'm not going to, you know, drive on that. But it is important to know that every answer that comes through nature that can help us with our mental health was created by God. And no matter what the issue is, if it's personal, sometimes it is very difficult to say, I need to get help with this. And I'm not just talking about mental and emotional. There are other things. We finally say, I need to get help with this. Some people have a genuine fear of going to a doctor. I understand that, okay? But I would encourage everyone here, that if you have been struggling with something and you have been saying, God, heal me. God, take it away. God, take it away. God, take it away. And it has not gone yet. And you have not sought out the answers, then my friend, seek out the answers. There are some people who take medication for their heart, and when they first start taking it, they say the side effects were terrible. I hated it. I was sleepy all the time, or I was nervous all the time. And someone told me that one time. I said, okay, tell your doctor, see if he'll give you something else. And they said, okay. You can do something different, okay? You know, people who've taken antidepressants, they said, it turned me into a zombie. You know, that when I took that, it was just awful. Well, part of the reason it does that is because your brain, sometimes the reason that happens is because your brain is experiencing relief from depression and the brain doesn't know what to do with that, so the brain just kind of shuts down. And I understand side effects and so forth. And someone told me that, said, I never want to take anything else again. I said, well, talk to your doctor, try something else. And she said, I don't know. I'm worried. I said, I understand. But, you know, you're in control here. If you're taking something that you don't like, that's affecting you in a negative way, tell your doctor there are other options. To almost every condition that we have, there are other options. And she said, okay, I'll try it. She went to a specialist. He prescribed something different. And a couple weeks later, she said, this is the first time in my life that I have felt like me. First time I've ever genuinely felt like this. Because, and here's why she feels that way. It's not because of what man did. It's because of what God put in nature. And along with this scripture, Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek. Someone say seek. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. There are so many things that are just available to us, but we're not looking for them. And I honestly offer no judgment that sometimes we don't go after those answers. But my friend, I encourage you, go after the answer. If one thing doesn't work, then tell your doctor and move on to something else. If you take one allergy medication, it makes you sleepy, take something different. There are different things, and every single one of those things that are out there were designed and made by God. And it's like I told this story a while back, but and some of you have heard it. It's in different forms, but there was a man in his home, and he heard the flood alarm sounding, and he went and sat on his porch, and the rain and floodwaters were coming, and someone was in a car and said, we need to get you out of here. A flood is coming. He said, I'm believing Jesus for it. I'm just believing Jesus for it. And the waters rose and a little bit higher to the point that a boat came by when he was sitting on his porch wading through the water. They said, "We need to get you out of here." He said, "I'm believing Jesus to deliver me." And eventually the waters were so high that he was on top of his house. And a helicopter came and shouted down to him, "Grab the ladder. We need to get you out of here." And he said, "I'm believing Jesus to deliver me." And what happened? He died. The flood came and he lost his life. And in heaven, he said, "God, why did you not save me from the flood?" He said, "I sent you a car, a boat, and a helicopter, and somehow you're still here." Okay? The answers are there. And my friend, it's okay if we're encouraging to each other with some things. If we see someone suffering, I understand we don't want to get into each other's business. But I don't think it would be out of line if we know somebody's going through something and we say, "Look, I know of something that might be helpful. Let me give you this number. You can call if you want to. Or have you thought about this approach to it?" And God can use us to encourage people in that way, okay? And understanding God's provision, understanding all of these things is, again, it's not a lack of faith. But I believe, this is what I believe. I believe it reveals to us more about the nature of God Himself. Because even in God's Word, it says that the properties we see in nature exemplify the properties of God. Water washes. So it's no wonder that we are baptized for the remitting or the washing away of our sins. Everything that we see, it seems like every new discovery, okay, we finally have a type of picture of a black hole. It's not a photograph the way that we understand photographs, okay, but we, you know, not long ago, we finally see, look, there it is. We see this. And I don't know what all there is to be discovered about God from the presence of a black hole. All that I know is that is one big hole in the sky, okay? That is one big field of absolutely nothing, okay? And whenever we understand, and whenever we open ourselves up to God's provision, I believe not only will we receive the answers that we need, but we will receive a closeness to Him that we haven't had before, okay? My friend, if you are suffering, quit it. I know that we got to go through some things. I understand that. But I say this because I love every one of you. Please don't suffer if you don't have to. Please don't go on having your joy robbed every day. Now, some people live with the things they have. I've talked about that before. And some things we can live with. You know, sometimes when I hear that little beep over there, he's not here, but his, you know, his mom's here. But when I hear that little beep over there, I just think, thank God for His provision. Thank God that this individual can live with this condition and live an abundant life. But if our joy ever starts decreasing, God said He came to give us life more abundantly. If our abundance starts decreasing, that is the time to say, "God, I can't live with this. I can't do this. I need help. I need to get somewhere. I need to do something. First thing I'm going to do is come to You. First thing I'm going to say is, God, will You heal me?" And if the answer is no or not yet or whatever the answer is, don't be disappointed because God has the answer. Now, in Paul's case, he asked deliverance from this thorn in his side. God said no. He said, "My grace is enough. My grace is enough." So if we have to live with something long term, short term, the rest of our, however it is, God will give us grace where we can look at that thing and say, "Hey, you don't bother me. You really don't. I get a little edgy sometimes. I get anxious sometimes. My heart beats a little fast sometimes. I get tired. I get out of breath sometimes. I have to change my diet. There's certain things I can't eat. There's certain things I can't eat. I have to do that. But hallelujah, I am happy. I am on my way to the house of God. And these things don't get me down because I have grace in my life." Are you thankful for grace this morning? Hallelujah. Whatever it is that we have to live with and go through. You can stand with me right now if you would. This is probably the fifth time I've said this, but I say it because I love my church so much. Don't take this as chiding from me. I hope that doesn't do that, but please don't suffer needlessly. Sometimes we sing about, the word depression is in a lot of our songs now, quite a few, and it's good. It should be. But I think we need to be specific sometimes, and sometimes you can't be specific in a song, especially if it's just one line. But depression, for example, exists over a spectrum. You can be a little down one day, I don't feel like doing anything, but I'm okay, to the point of making a very terrible decision and not being in your right mind, okay? And some people, they have, you know, they take medication for it, and yeah, they get down sometimes, but they're okay. Yeah, this is one of my down days, but I really am fine. I know what fine is, okay? I know what not fine is. I know when it's time to say, all right, time to get help for this right away. If we will ask God for wisdom on when and how to take care of these things, He will always, 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 He is bound to His word. He will always lead us to the answer that is best for us. And friend, no matter what anyone says, the things we sing about, the things we talk about, I hope we don't take those the wrong way. And I don't believe we do. But don't you dare feel guilty about anything that you're going through. Don't you dare. I say this because I love you so much. Don't you dare feel guilty because you haven't found the answer yet. Don't you feel guilty because you think if I go to a specialist, a cardiologist, if I go to a psychiatrist, that's a lack of faith on my part. I'm supposed to be believing Jesus. No, that is not a lack of faith, my friend. That is the presence of wisdom. That is going after the things that God gave His children because He loves us. So if you're still not getting your answer, ask God. He'll lead you to the answer. If you don't know where to start, talk to your pastor. He will help you. If he can't help you, He knows who and where to point you to. He knows how to handle that. And if you're here today, and if you've had, if I can use the term baggage issues, is that all right if I say that? You've heard me say we all have issues and we all need tissues. You know, that's just the way life is. We'll help you carry your baggage. We don't mind your baggage. We don't mind your issues. We want all the hurting to come here and say, look, I'm going through something. They might feel a little uncomfortable. Well, some things might get socially awkward sometime. So what? So what if someone is having difficulties with something and it makes us all nervous and we just don't know what to do? Should I speak? Should I? So what? So what if it happens? It has happened here and it may happen again. You know what we're going to do? We're going to love them. We're going to say, hey, how can we help you? How can we point you to the answer? We're going to pray with you that God heals you, that God delivers you. And so many times He will do it. But if not, don't you worry. God's got something else for you. God's got something over here. He's got something over there. I thank God for this amazing, awesome creation that He has given us. And even if we misuse it sometimes, even if we misuse it, God, forgive me and lead me to the right answer. Can we lift our hands right now? And ask for wisdom. I need wisdom. I ask for it every day. God, give me the right answer. Am I approaching this the right way, God? Am I dealing with this the right way? I need your direction. I need your wisdom, Lord. God, we know there's so much unsurety in these and trepidation that we feel seeking the answers, God. But help us to be bold and seek them in faith, God. Trusting you for us, God. We know that you're on this journey with us, Lord, and we thank you for it, Jesus. Oh, God, give my brothers and sisters comfort. God, help us to not be judgmental, God, but to be curious about what they're going through so that we may help them, God, that we may be an encouragement, God. And, Lord, we don't have all the answers. All we can do, God, is trust you to give us the answer. Trust you to be the answer, God, and all we can be is grateful for it. Oh, we can be as grateful. Thank you, Lord. I hope I really hope I don't sound like a pompous know-it-all sharing some of these things. You know I get on my soapbox sometimes. I honestly do. But I really feel like I should make no apologies for that, because don't suffer if you don't have to. Don't you dare let some disorder, disease rob you of your joy. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.